Trash Planet contains themes of desperation and poverty. We portray a comedic, absurd, and violent world. For a full list of content warnings, please see the episode description.
Broadcasting live from deep within the Criterion Closet. My movie picks are just hundreds of beavers, five times. We are Trash Planet, the podcast that beats ass and eats trash. I am your host, Rabbit Sullivan. My pronouns are he, him, and she, her. With me today are four of Cincinnati's sick, nastiest improvisers. Everybody, please say hi and tell me about your vibe today. For instance, my vibe today, I got a really good rice cooker on eBay for cheap, and it sings me a song when it makes me rice. It just sings me a little wheedly deedly dee, and I am so happy, and I get to eat rice. So that's my vibe today, just kind of luminous, you know? It's good shit. Maddie, yeah, tell me about your vibe.
I am Maddie, she, they, and I am feeling today like an English muffin, you know? I feel like slathered in some butter and lots of nooks and crannies, just like pulling up that good butter goodness. That's how I feel today.
Hello, I'm Nihar, he, him, and my vibe today is a pristine new pair of shoes that is hanging from a power line.
Wow.
Hello, this is Devin, he, him. My vibe today is like a nice worn hard hat. A little information about me. I spent yesterday building half a fence, so I'm feeling pretty handy.
The top half or the bottom half?
Mock him.
Yes. All the hard work.
For the listeners at home, Devin is wearing overalls, and he looks a lot like Bob the Builder, just for your mental picture.
Yeah, there you go. That's me.
Hi, I'm Natalie, she, they, and today my vibe is that cool pattern on the bottom of a lake or pool with the light refracting through the top.
That's so cool. You always have good ones. That's awesome. And my bonus vibe is the vibe you can find on our website, hypergallant.com, or on the social media links that are in the episode description. Last we left off, our heroes were just coming off of a pretty brutal downtime full of social milieu. We see greasy early morning light. The camera's high, high up. It's a drone shot. It was surprisingly cheap to shoot on location. We see the wide open plains of Trash Planet, this hazy blitz of color and dust and chrome. Acres and acres. And we, in this chaos, we barely make out the biggest landmarks. We see pieces of starships. We see chunks of buildings. Up close, we see denim jeans and smashed plastic bits and cracked industrial barrels. We see pamphlets and tangled plastic nets and dust. And out in this carnage, we see a rare slash of pure white. It's long and thin and pointy. It is an old-fashioned wind turbine. So it's exactly what you'd see on wind farms today. It's the big pole with the three huge propellers. This one's pretty banged up. It's crumpled. It's wedged at a crazy angle against the side of a huge shipping container. It's not quite in midair, but it's not on the ground either. So all we can hear is this wind whistling, the shudder and groan of shifting metal. Every so often, the wind moves the propeller, just barely touches the trash around it, makes this aching sound like you hear in horror movies. The camera pulls down, and we see the base of this wind turbine. Pressed up against the base, we see a dark lump. It's a plastic tarp. It makes crinkly sounds in the wind. And then the lump shifts, and we see that this is Halbert, curled up under the tarp in her hammer-shaped mask. She jolts awake with a start. Her shoulders are heaving. For a second, she just breathes, and her huge mask slowly moves left to right, looking around, remembering where she is. She slowly gets to her feet. She's real stiff. She's moving slow because she slept all curled up. She looks around, searching, until she spots the skimmer she came here on. It's a little lightweight thing. It blends in with the trash around it. It's a rental. It's a real piece of shit. It looks fine. It's not buried in trash, which is all you can ask for. So she turns back to the wind turbine. She looks up at the propeller creaking in the wind. And we hear howling wind, and she steps forward. unbuckles her mask. She's holding her breath. She presses her forehead against the wind turbine, and her eyes close. And for a long moment, she just stays there, her shoulders moving up and down, her eyes shut tight. And then she's stepping away, putting her mask back on. She's moving onto the skimmer. She's looking at the position of the sun. And she kicks down, and this bad engine roars to life. And then she's moving away, roaring back towards home. And then the sound does a cool thing here. It's like that cross-cut thing, like the rhythmic putt-putt-putt of the engine cuts into the sound of high heels clicking on stone. And then bam, the camera cuts. And we are somewhere else entirely. We're in a sleek little loading tunnel, expertly machined, full of supply crates. And we see Sharitha Vettis, the chief of acquisitions for the Tender Mercy Steakhouse. She is slick as ever. She is wearing a beautifully cut little wool suit, braids, incredible, hard to describe. And she is in mid-conversation with two faces that we find familiar. Friends, please describe yourselves. What do you look like at this moment?
I think Connie's tried to look more put together. So rather than wearing a sort of tattered robe, Connie's fashioned himself like a piecemeal like suit. Where, you know, the sleeve is like a different shade of gray than the body, but, you know, that's the fabric he could find.
How's he feeling being in this, you know, this is back in the Tender Mercy, this is high stakes kind of stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was offensive that they sprayed me with perfume before I walked in.
Brutal. Lottie, how are you doing?
Yeah, Lottie's there, kind of just wearing her... sort of her normal outfit, like the overalls and the boots and all that, but it's all been kind of meticulously like taken care of, so she's there more in an outfit that's like her normal self, but like the best, tidiest version of it that she can put forward, and not like a dressed up version of herself.
Beautiful. How are you feeling in terms of anxiety as you're back talking to the Tender Mercy?
I feel like Lottie's not excessively stressed, but I think she's decently concerned about the things about to go down. So not stressed yet, but worried.
Nice. So Sharitha's holding her little digital tablet thing, and she looks up at you both, and she says, "You're telling me that there's no other option than to do it in the wasteland. You're saying it's a ceremony."
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Listen, jailbirds are rare, and there's a process to all this. I don't want Rovans coming down on the Tender Mercy. You understand? They'll take this very personally if we do it anyway.
You understand what you're asking me here, all right? This is a high-class establishment. We just pick everything up and say that, oh, we're going to run an outdoor event on short notice. Do you understand that this is ridiculous? This is absolutely unbelievable.
Oh, I'm sure with a little branding, you could sell that to your customers. It's not an outing into the wasteland. It's like a safari almost, or something like that.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see a jailbird ceremony. Don't think of it as an inconvenience. Think of it as...
an opportunity.
Perfect. Please give me some kind of roll here. Gotta be either a charm or a persuade, right? What you're competing for here is how much this is going to affect your pay. She is looking annoyed, but she is hearing you about the branding. We're going to call this controlled standard, actually, in terms of risk and reward.
Threes.
One.
Oh!
Damn it.
Wait, do you guys have trust between you? Because you shouldn't take stress if you trust each other.
I don't think we do.
We don't. Yeah, also I wouldn't expend that here. We have okay. So much more mission to go.
Yeah, fair. Okay. So Sharitha purses her lips and she says, "All right, just so you know, this is completely unacceptable and it will be reflected in your pay, all right? I don't hire you to make my life more difficult, just so we understand each other, yes? However, you are delivering me an intact jailbird. Meat, feathers, the whole presentation, yes?"
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What do we see on Connie's face as he says this?
You see a very confident smile, like, of course we can do this, but, you know, bead of sweat running down the side of his forehead.
Amazing. And bam, we cut back, and we are at the Scream and Slice. We're a little bit in free time, because now we are doing all the stuff we like to do before a mission. We are doing the crossing point. We're choosing our load. We're doing our info gather or acquire asset. And we are all here and we can all do it. We're kind of in narrative free fall as we align these things. What are we up to?
So to be clear, the crossing point is like the start of this dinner party thing. Is that correct?
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would we like to choose load at this juncture?
I'm going to go light load.
Okay.
Because I want to look good. I want to look, you know, I feel like I'm going to be the face.
I think tank is going to be a heavy load. He's going to be like the Trash Planet equivalent of like Crocodile Dundee. Like.
So, because Tank wears so little clothes normally, what does it look like when he's really kitted up?
Like a military vest type thing with all the pockets and, but like he's not wearing a shirt underneath. So it's just like straight up like just a vest with a lot of pockets and like a big old pack.
Okay, we briefly smash back to Yanush, like, with immense ceremony, handing you, like, okay, now this is authentic, okay? You understand that? Like, this is a 60-year-old piece of material.
Okay, yeah, no, yeah. No.
Like, the dust in here, this is 60-year-old dust.
Wow, that dust is pretty old. But I guess, isn't most dust, like, really old?
You know, I've never really thought about that. I guess most dust is pretty old. We cut back. I also think it'd be funny if you had, like, fanny pack, like, one normal and then two, like, bandoliers.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. And then, like a boonie hat where one side is, like, flipped up.
Feeling
all
good.
Things easy to find in the trash.
Yeah. Lottie, what's your load?
I'm going to go normal load, I think.
Normal as well.
Nice, nice. And this is your moment to info gather or acquire asset. This is your freebie before the mission. What would you like to spend your time doing?
I think we should probably learn some stuff about the guests. Since the whole thing is they think we're crazy, weird, trash people, we need to be able to play into those stereotypes based off of what we know about that person.
Mm. Good call. I agree.
Okay, fantastic. So what is your approach? You're going to get one roll here. Could be a group roll if you want.
I mean, is there any way we can ask them to, like, give us the dossier that
the
they
guest
have
list.
Yeah, because like if the bear has taught me anything, it's that really nice restaurants know a lot about you and they try to make your dining experience special.
Okay, so who would you go to for this? Would you go to Shritha? Would you go to random security people, just a guy that you find who's a line cook? Like, how would you try to get this information?
I think we would go to somebody from the kitchen and take it from an angle of like being concerned about, like, dietary restrictions or something like that.
That's really cool. Okay.
Great idea.
Also, unrelated, give me a fortune roll, somebody. Just a pure 1d6. So this isn't your real roll yet. Someone probably not, Natalie.
I'm still banned from this.
You're too banned.
Okay, fine. A 3.
The universe said 3. So give me the montage of someone talking to someone in the kitchen. Who is doing this? What's it look like?
Yeah, so, like, if you get 3 friends to sign up for season tickets, and then they also get 3 friends to sign up for season tickets?
It just feels like it doesn't need to be a pyramid scheme. It's like it's season tickets. Like, we have a structure for that, like, in society.
It's not a pyramid scheme. It's just, like, a referral incentive bonus.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right? And you could potentially, if you get enough people signed up, you could have a box seat
of the games. It's really good that you're so cute. I just want to say that to you. You know, that you get to move through the world in this way. Like, I respect that a lot. That, you know,
that, Tank,
that
can
seemed
we
a little
focus?
Backhanded.
Can we focus? This is about the guest list.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we were just wondering, like, to be able to, you know, accommodate everyone's dietary restrictions, if we could get the guest list ahead of time, so that way everything's cool.
Give me a roll. It has to be something social. This is the route you've chosen.
I'm bad at both Charmander and Persuade.
No, this feels about right, actually. Yeah. This is good. Yeah. You could do a group action with Connie if you like.
I'm good at both.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's call it Persuade since it was like logic.
Yes, sure.
Okay.
What'd you get? I got 1.
Actually. 6. We succeed.
So the person looks from Tank, the obvious dipshit, over to Connie, who seems to know what's happening, and is like, this is reasonable, I accept this. Did you get suckered into this, like, season ticket thing, or no?
I already had season tickets to the Tickball games.
God, you people, man.
No, I'm friends with Tank for that reason. We met on the field.
That's reasonable. That's a reason to be friends.
So I got you down for five?
No, obviously not. They're handing you a list. Well, actually, it's on a... They're like, oh, give me your code. What's your connect? Oh, you probably don't have... Oh, sorry. Is that a sore subject? You probably don't have that. I'll write it out longhand. Like old school. The vibe got bad. The vibe got weird. This person's like shuffling around looking for like a piece of cardboard and is like, does anyone have a pen? We use pens here, right? Like, you know, and you realize you're broke as fuck. And I'm like, yeah. Amazing. So you are given a guest list. Dietary restrictions. I think that this guest list would include things like dietary restrictions. What else do you think is reasonable to be on a guest list for a fancy restaurant like this?
Maybe like titles, occupation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. You pick out a couple of, looks like several people here are from Archelos, like they're proper off-worlders. So you would really get the impression that somebody in here is either a VIP or they're all the VIP. You know that High Life Adventure Tours is facilitating this. So Tank, this pings off something in your brain. You're like, oh, wait a minute. There was that guy, Big Eve Boulder. Like you were told to talk to him about juice. So you saw a couple people from Offworld. You saw a couple people from Onworld, which there are rich people here. You just don't know about them too much because you are poor people. And that's about it. So yeah, it looks like. So you had three from Archelos, one from Station Whitlow, couple from Onworld. Looks like they leave a chair empty sometimes, like in case there's like a real VIP that comes up at the last minute. So that could be something. Yeah. So anything else that you think you would get out of this interaction?
About how many people? Like how long is the guest list?
Pretty short. It looks like about six or seven people.
Okay, great, yeah. Great.
So this was marketed as, this chef, we see them. They've got like a cool, energy. They're like tattooed up. They're like classic like high-end line cook energy where like I'm rough and tumble but also I work in a nice restaurant, you know. So they're talking mostly to Tank, and they're like, yeah, so this was a real fucking hassle for us, you know, this chef's table thing, right? You know, whatever, right? I mean, we gotta show them a good time, I guess, out here.
Yeah, I mean, it's the hospitality business, right? You gotta take care of people.
It's fucking people. I don't even get tips for this, but you know, they pay me all right.
How are you getting energy out there? Do you have like a portable gas tank? Or generator?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got everything, you know. I mean, we do have an outdoor setup. We just don't like using it because, obviously, the risks involved, you know, we got to get Contigo, keeping an eye on everything. That's the security group.
That's cool. One time we fashioned a giant mixer into a portable pizza oven. So, yeah. I get where you're coming from.
This line cook reaches out and, like, squeezes your bicep and is like, handsome. Handsome man.
Thank you. Yeah. you keep mentioning that, so it kind of weird, but yeah.
You're stressing me out, I guess, and so it's good that you're handsome. This, but you know, can I get back to my work now? You have everything you need.
Yeah. No, that sounds good. Yeah.
All right. I'll see you later. Probably won't.
I don't know. We are delivering the meat. You know. Hey, so do you have any boys that you're cool with?
Do you think, because you got a six on your real roll out of this, I will allow you to inquire one more piece of information on this guest list, should you choose to do so. What do you want to know more about?
Okay, wait, I have a pitch. Because they have generators. Can part of this be that they just give us a generator?
Ooh.
They have more generators than they need to use.
And they probably don't think that much about...
Yeah. That is true. Like, once you get, like, two or more companies working on the same event, it all just kind of is like, ah, fuck it, whatever, you know? Like, you're not questioning which contractors might be gangsters or not, yeah. I guess. I
don't know. Does that work? Is that okay?
That's really stretching it, but I'll allow it because that's cool. Yeah. Okay, I think that you endure one more heinous interaction with this line cook, just really beyond imagining.
So Tank walks out the door after giving the card, and then he like turns left down the hallway, makes another left, and then comes in through the other kitchen door. He's like, oh, whoa, oh.
Are you doing a bit?
No, I promise. I wasn't doing a bit. It's kind of confusing here. While have you, we kind of need a generator as well. I thought maybe like we can just like borrow one.
Just one of the small gas ones.
Connie has never, he did not leave. Nope. Tank walked around and came back in and Connie's still standing there.
This person looks between you and is like, and I'll give it to you and the interaction will end.
Deal.
All right, perfect. You leave the Tender Mercy. It's pretty cool. It's shaped kind of like a duffel bag, and you can carry it like a duffel bag. It's almost like a little handheld cannon, but it's a scary piece of equipment. Like, it is powerful, it is beautiful, it is well designed. It's got like beautiful like red and white paneling on it. You're just like, oh, the joy of touching a nice tactile piece of machinery, you know? And when you turn it on, like the whole front part of it, it's like, you know, those flashlights where you twist the whole back cap and it's just, you know, it's very easy. It's just, and the thing just purrs to life. Beautiful. This thing is worth more than your restaurant. So Connie, you're walking out of there holding it like, oh, like this is a nice generator you got. It doesn't appear to run on fuel either. You're not really sure what it's running on. So
exciting.
Yes. Right.
Maybe they'll forget that they gave us this.
I hope so. I mean, this could run our ventilation system. Can you imagine? Before we get into more mission, important question. How big is a jailbird?
Yeah, well, we've said that the adults are like 9-foot wingspan, so they're pretty big. I think the babies are like stork-sized, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so follow-up question. Mm-hmm. How big is Vinny Vertebeast?
I think you can spend a flashback on how big Vinny Vertebeast is. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
We can make it work.
Yeah, you can make it work. Right. And so we see the cool guy shot of you guys coming home to the Screaming Slice, all of you pulling together, chattering animatedly, making your plans, feeling the vibe. We're not going to see it, though, because we're going to do it in flashback. And so, bam, we cut to a beautiful, star-filled sky. There's actually not a whole lot of light pollution on Trash Planet. Like, there's so few cities and there's so few lights on planet that even though this place is full of junk and full of things that could glow, a lot of them aren't most of the time. And so you can see all the heavens laid out in front of you. You can see, like, spiraling, scattering, milk-stained galaxies out in all directions.
Is Logos in the sky?
Oh, Logos in the sky, the planet Logos.
So, yeah, we haven't talked about it much. Trash Planet is a moon.
Yeah. You can't say that around locals, though. They'll kick your ass. Yeah, so Logos is our nearest planet. And it's a pretty lousy planet, but it's ours, you know? Just like Helica. And so we see the four of you guys tromping out towards a glowing spot on the horizon. We are at Bustard's Canyon, where you told Shreetha you would meet her, where the ceremony must take place. And you see glowing lights floating above this zone. Like, we're wedged into the canyon, which, a little word on the canyon. The canyon is only the canyon because of the juice. This is the lowest point in the area, and so all of the trash juice, all of these strange, unctuous fluids are running down into this one spot, and it's corrosive. And so it is eroding everything underneath it, and so the canyon is constantly and quickly being carved out beneath you. So the canyon's dangerous, but it does also mean that there are some real high points that have been carved out over the years. The biggest objects, the densest objects that have made it. And so we see the side of the canyon. We see this gorgeous black table set up, huge circular table. We see floating lights, little orbs just scattered around. They're floating in the sky above you guys. Gentle, soft glow. VIPs haven't arrived yet, so you still see people rushing around, wearing all, like, all the servers here look incredible. They are all so put together. Looks like a team of probably 7 or 8 people who you would immediately assume to be just wait staff. So it's one-to-one service here. And you see further off in the distance, there is the chef's area. You know, you see a glowing furnace that is glowing blue for some reason. You're unclear on that. Probably haven't seen a blue flame before. This is expensive technology. And you can see that because there's a couple more of those little cannon-sized generators that are stacked up, sitting like pillars on the ground. And as you approach, you also realize, like, as you're sucking in air, you've all got masks on, you cross a certain invisible threshold, and then you can breathe. Your mask starts running clear. You just immediately are like, oh, and you can take your mask off because You look up, there are thin pillars, four of them, that are around the surrounding area. It's like how you stick up a tiki torch, or like just bunk right into the ground, and it looks like they're doing some kind of air filtration thing. And you look up in the sky, and there's like a huge flat object hovering in the dead center of those four things. So you would assume this is all like an active air filtration system. Unbelievably expensive. Like, this is life or death technology to anyone. Like, if I don't know, Connie, I think it immediately occurs to you that, like, if the hospital had this, people would live. You know, like, this is technology that would save lives, and you are blowing it on a dinner party out under the stars. And so it is beautiful and demure and so well designed. Everything here is granite. All the silverware is heavy. Like, people are laying it down with very careful precision onto like real crisp black linen napkins. You can smell strange and exotic smells in the air. They're cooking things that you have never smelled before. And yes, this is where we find ourselves, here at the Tender Mercy Chef's Table Edition. What do you all do?
Flashback to Inla talking to Wolpertinger.
Ooh.
Hey, Wolpy, how you doing? I kind of need a little favor.
This is a flashback. It is broad daylight, burning sun. Wolpertinger is sitting on the edge of a billboard that is still miraculously upright. They're wearing all their mosquito netting, their cool rabbit mask, and bunny slippers. It's bright pink. Looks great. And they look down at you, they're like, interesting. Tell more.
Yeah, so we're doing this project with jailbirds. And I think you'll be really interested in it. There's these kind of yuppies involved. Anyway, we're trying to convince them that there's going to be a roving ceremony. And I think that you will play a key role if you would like to help us out.
You would like me to lie about the sacred traditions? They look down at you impassively.
Just this once. Yes.
I would lie 800 times. I love to lie. You know this.
Oh, fucking awesome. Great.
And I love lying. You know me.
I wasn't sure if you were still the old Wolfie I knew growing up, but...
Amazing. What will you require?
All right, so I need some scraps that we can use to make a makeshift jailbird.
You're going to feed them fake jailbird?
Yeah.
That's cool, actually.
Sure as hell don't want to kill one.
Oh, absolutely not. No, of course not. What are you trying to get out of this flashback? Are you trying to...
Sorry, yeah, I guess I was trying to get Wolpertinger involved.
Okay, yeah. Just get him on this. Get them on the scene.
Get them on the scene, and then also potentially have their help in creating the ceremony.
Okay, so I think that as you guys are walking up to this cool little spot, Enla, you do like a whistle call. Like, what does it sound like?
I imagine it's like a multi-level, like a da da da, like whistle, but it's one of the whistle roving calls of like you know, calling people in.
Yeah. Okay. So you can hear those over a long distance. And so you hear a repeated call and you get to see the cool guy entrance that Wolpertinger makes, which is there's canyon up against you. You know, there's an overhang and then a dark spot just sort of leaps off of the overhang and like 3-point landings like a cool guy. You're like, yeah, you know, and we see three rovens. Huge, crazy silhouettes. We see Wolpertinger, all mosquito netting, wearing a G-string, mosquito netting, nothing else. And we see someone else who appears to be a pile of sweaters. That's all you can make out. And you see a guy who just kind of looks like a guy. And you're like, hmm. So these are the Rovens that you have conscripted into your cause tonight. So Wolpertinger sidles on up to you. I was like, hello.
Hey, Wolfie, thank you so much for helping out.
Of course, sacred ceremony. Hello, you are friends of Enla.
Oh, yeah, this is my friend Wolpertinger.
Hey, what's up?
Hello.
Lovely to meet you.
Thank you. Wolpertinger takes your hand, it bows, and then, like, kisses your hand.
Lottie kind of just, like, blushes a bit and holds a hand in her hand.
Wolpertinger says, so we shall arrange the implements, I assume.
Yeah, yeah. At first, I need your help to convince Shritha that this is a... we need to have some, like, ceremonial kind of shit going on, right?
Yes, Yes, you see her beelining towards you guys now. How do you want to approach this?
I can intercept her.
Okay, yeah. All right, so you and Enla and Volpertinger are chatting. So we see Shritha looking cut, looking fit, looking mad already. And so we come to see the two clocks that will power this experience. The first clock is an 8 clock. It is called Successful Ceremony. You are trying to get your ceremony as successful as possible. You're trying to get the vibes right. You're trying to get the people chilling. However, you are racing a 6 clock called Shritha's Stress Level. And when that maxes out, you guys will simply be ejected. She will reach her tolerance of bullshit and the night will end in an instant. So these are the clocks that are in play. Someone please give me the engagement roll. Yeah, maybe Natalie, honestly. Let's tempt fate.
Yes. Immediately, I think since we got the guest list, you know, our information gathering and resource gathering role was good. I think that gives us a +1.
Okay.
Sharitha's kind of on our turf.
That's true. This is not also a +1. Turf. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
We're not in their building with their loud music and their world.
That's true. However, I'm going to give you a -1 for the exact same reason, which is, you know, you guys are from a very different world. You're battling a lot right now to do a fake jailbird for a bunch of very rich people. Mm-hmm. So that's a -1. So I think you're down to roll 2 dice. Okay.
Please.
3.
3. Okay. So we're going to start out with Shritha's stress level is at 2 out of 6. That's a clock that can go backwards and forwards, just so you know. And so she races up. She takes one look at Volpertinger, who is in, again, mosquito netting and a G-string and bunny slippers, and is like, what is this? Okay, you need to get this out of here immediately, all right? This is...
Excuse me, are you insulting my people?
Am sacred shaman. Am shaman.
Yes, this is a roving shaman. How dare you, Shritha?
Volpertinger is doing like a JoJo pose. It's like curling over backwards, like, blah.
I'm so sorry, Shritha. I understand that you're not very versed in the roving ways, but Volpertinger here is...
I have taken so many trainings about diversity and inclusion. All right, so I understand that you have your cultural differences, but there is proper and improper... Okay, maybe the shaman can be far away. Yes, maybe the shaman can be a little bit out of distance.
He's crucial to the actual ceremony, Shritha. And as a Rovan who grew up in the Rovans, this is very important, and we need you to pay attention. You need to tread carefully, or you will have all of the Rovans at your doorstep.
Okay. Would you like to make a roll here?
Sure.
Wait, don't we want the ceremony really far away?
What?
Don't we want the ceremony to be really far away?
she concedes, just like, takes right. How about this, Shritha? We will keep the ceremony far away so that you don't have to see the shaman, and we'll bring you the food.
Yes, look upon me with your shame and your fear. Shritha is like actively like, ugh, just really biting down.
If you really think this is going to disturb your guest's sensibilities, then I think it would be potentially best. But this is crucial for something as sacred as the jailbird. The ceremony must be performed.
Absolutely. Volpertinger is drinking a glow stick right now. give me a roll on Shritha's stress level. This can be some kind of resolve roll.
Okay, I was going to say if I could do a persuade.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, persuade is great.
I'm not great at it, but if anybody wants to help, yeah. 3.
Okay. Shritha's stress level goes up 1. She's like, fine, do it wherever you want. All right. Volpertinger smiles, lips stained with like glowing iridescent glow stick shit. and she walks away to go talk to other people.
Volpe, that was fucking perfect.
I thought so as well. Oh, drink?
Of course. Take some.
Amazing.
These were our favorite when we were kids, weren't they?
Delicious. Ice pop, kind of. Yes. Remember ice?
No.
Me neither. Pretty good. Okay, what are you guys up to over here?
Sorry.
Maddie, you killed it.
What do you mean you took over? That was your scene. I hope you take over your scene.
Yeah.
So Tank is going to, in this like downtime before the guests get here, he's going to see if there's any High Life Adventure Tour people here already, kind of like preparing for the guests.
Nobody is here right now. You realize that they would come with the guests, like, because they have like guides that are part of it. But as you're walking around getting to see the space, you see a little fast aircraft just just gliding silently over the hills, and you see it set down pretty close by. So VIPs are incoming. What do you want to do?
Well, I wanted to talk to a High Life Adventure Tour person to try and get Biggie. Some information.
Not there
on
yet,
Biggie
unfortunately. I'm giving you moments here before shit goes. Yeah.
I was thinking that in a flashback, we could go out into the wastes and gather like jailbird feathers or, you know, bits of actual jailbird to make our fake more convincing. One of the parts of this fake ceremony is that all of the guests get a feather.
That's nice. So, Yeah. People love a souvenir. That's great.
Yeah, because you rarely ever see a jailbird, let alone see one being butchered in front of you. And, you know, you get a little souvenir from it.
Hell yeah.
In this fake ceremony.
So is Connie going out to the waste? So what are you doing?
See, that's the thing is, I'm not a hunter. I would suck at this.
I'd go with you.
Yeah. I think then me and Enla probably go to some place where jailbirds are known to rest. Like, we know Endless climbed up these places before, and, you know, even if they're not around, their nests are like huge, right? They're visible
for sure.
So yeah. I think we can probably find one and gather some feathers and some bits and stuff to make it more convincing.
So. Okay, all right. So that'll be a one stress flashback for you. Yeah. And I would love to see. We don't see the Connie and Emla team up too often. No. We see the two of you, brilliant, shiny blue day, masks on Lottie's cool skimmer. Who is driving?
I can do it.
All right. You're throttling the beast vroom, 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 right over the hills, jumping and vaulting and crashing down. It's extremely bumpy to travel in the wastes, even on a hover vehicle. Yeah, how are y'all doing as you journey out to Seltzer Mountain?
Wow, you're doing a lot better than last time, Connie. Last time we were out here, you were, I don't know, got your sea legs underneath you or something now.
I really wasn't used to it last time. You get used to the wastes, I like to think.
I would say so, yeah.
Is that what we're looking for at the top of the mountain there? With
Yeah. That big, like, nest that's just, like, all that, like, ragged metal? That's exactly where we're headed.
This thing has to be huge to be able to carry metal rebar that big.
Yeah, they're, like, almost, like, 1.5 of an average person. They're huge.
Do we really... I don't know if I can climb that thing.
Oh, I got it. Don't worry about it. I brought my like climbing kit, so.
And are you sure it's safe to just jump off with a hang glider?
Define safe?
I don't want you to die off a mountain.
It's not that bad. It'll be fine. I'll be fine. I've survived worse falls.
Yeah, so we approach the mountain. I'm going to stay at the bottom.
Beautiful.
But yeah, Edla's going to do the climbing and gathering, I guess.
Yeah, all right.
I'm going to keep an eye out to see if we can actually see a real jailbird.
Yeah, I think that'll be an effect. We're going to call this risky standard. If you do really well, then that will be an option. But yeah, I think this sounds to me like a group scrounge roll, unless you have an argument otherwise.
We can do it as a group. I thought you were the one.
Yeah, okay, I sure. still scrounge on my own.
Well, it's your flashback. Like, I don't know.
That's the weird part.
Do you want to be involved in it? I don't know.
Fair enough.
I got a 6.
Yes!
I got it nothing, so.
Oh, amazing. Beautiful roll. We see Enla climbing like a monkey, just up and over the trash. What is your climbing kit like?
Oh, it's basically just two knives in each of my hands, and then there's knives on the ends of my shoes. So I'm just like kicking into the wall and like climbing as I go up. That's how it works.
As the knives are moving in and out of the trash, they're making a little sound like shank, shank.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. You hustle your way up to a jailbird's nest. You got a 6 here?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't see anybody in there, which is great. You would love to not encounter a jailbird right now. You do see plenty of feathers. So they are long. They are greasy. Like, when you touch them, they're just, like, immediately gross. You're like, ooh. I think a lot of stuff on Trash Planet has evolved to have kind of a juice defense built in because that stuff is so corrosive. So nearly all the creatures here are some variety of, like, slimy, greasy. Like, it's like how ducks are naturally very greasy, you know? So anyway, real greasy ass feathers, black and white, very impressive. Big ones, little ones, you're nailing it. You look down and you're looking out at the horizon. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, I'm just gonna grab as many of them as I can gather and kind of like stuff them in my pocket, one of my pockets, my mini pockets. While I'm up there, I also see like a weird, like kind of rounded piece of metal. I snag that shit up too and pop it in my pocket.
What's that about? What's it like?
I want to make it into a pauldron.
Ooh, okay.
All right, so I'm looking out over the horizon and then I'm going to hang glide off of the mountain.
Okay, scale of 1 to 10, how good is your hang glider?
I mean, I'm basically like in a squirrel suit, like one of those suits that just like I can like...
Wingsuit.
Like a wingsuit. That's
yeah.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So like I made my own wingsuit, so I just kind of like whoop, open... Hey, I'm very industrious. It was very industrious. Like, pop open my wingsuit and just kind of whoop over the side.
I'm not going to kill you in a flashback that you rolled a 6 on, but also the idea of doing that in a wingsuit, like, that's
so dangerous.
You're not, like, super high up either. Like, you're just a little bit off and just, oh, wow. Endless, pretty
well,
cool.
Well, just more of, like, a glide down, like, so I don't hurt myself.
You know,
right?
How like, you can famously glide about 3 stories and it's, like, not a problem?
I mean,
yeah. No, it's good. It's cartoon logic, you know. When you land, what does it look like?
It is a decently rough landing. I don't fly all that often or glide all that often, so I kind of takes my feet don't get quite underneath me, so I kind of trip a little bit and kind of skid on my stomach on the landing, but I make it.
Yeah, bonk, like smack your head out. So I'm like, oh,
it's already been bonked. That would hurt even worse.
Oh no! And we remember you have the status effect bonked. Brutal, brutal stuff.
My poor head.
But shoop, the camera crash zooms in on Connie holding a bunch of feathers, the result of a successful flashback.
Yeah. At this point, I'm probably very much in view of Shritha. I'm getting the fake jailbird, which we'll see how good of a recreation it is, like, out, like, getting it into view on the far side of the canyon. So it's, you know, it's far away, so they can't quite make out the details. but it is adorned with actual jailbird feathers.
Nice. That'll give you a +1 on your inevitable rolls for how crazy this thing is. All right. Lottie, what have you been up to?
I think Lottie's waiting for guests to arrive, and in the process, she's just been kind of doing like kitchen prep stuff, because we are serving a real meal, even though the bird is fake.
That's a real question. Is there meat that you, like real meat that you're going to hand over? Or?
Yeah, we kind of need to get actual real meat. Like, we don't have to get a ton because we can kind of write it off as like, oh, these are like the only viable like cuts of a jailbird, right? But we do need like preferably like a fatty bird meat.
Yeah. Why don't you give us some animals that
yeah.
we could use?
There's a lesser and greater funk leg is a everyone pause for huge applause. The crowd is screaming. That's right. It's a creature called the lesser or greater funk leg. This is like a fucked up duck. Like, this is like a combination duck and eel. So that's
isn't
a,
that just a goose.
But sorry,
that's just a goose.
Oh well.
Well, you're gonna have to explain a duck and eel. What are you talking about?
In what way is it a combination?
The audience is actually, it's strange you're saying this because the audience is screaming and chanting. We get it. We get how a duck is like an eel. No. It's like, imagine a duck, but longer. And also it can submerge for long periods of time and it can like swim like a fish a little bit, but it has to come back up. And it does have feathers, but it was like partially adapted to live in juice. So yeah, you can get those in the basin. Does that answer your fucking question?
I think so. That would taste exotic enough for a bunch of off-worlders and rich people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't amazing. Know if it would taste good or not. But
the thing that swims in poison and is made of grease? Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's one juice creature they haven't eaten in place of another juice creature they haven't eaten. So.
Yeah. That is true.
Fair. Yeah, yeah. So you have lesser funk legs, which are also, when they're on land, they do have legs and they walk all crazy. And that's why they call them that.
So I'm sure we'll figure out what the meat is, like in a flashback or something later. It could be funk leg. That would work. But I think what Lottie's trying to do right now is just kind of like figure out ways to kind of like bullshit the meal into like a fancier one. So I think like one thing she's doing is probably like, we have a sauce that's going to be on the meat. And she's portioning it into two portions. One of them, she's grinding in like petals and stuff like that to make it like a bright, you know, like green, like an avocado green or something like that. And then the other one, she's like mashing in like rust red mushrooms.
Oh.
So we have two different sauces available.
They're just dyed.
They're just dyed. It's the same sauce.
Wow. So important question. Are you doing this? So there is a kitchen set up for the Tender Mercy. Are you trying to deal with them or are you like off doing your own thing?
Whatever our kitchen setup looks like.
What is your kitchen setup?
I would say we have like a nice-ish looking one, like out towards the ceremony where we can like visibly cook, right? Mm. And then like also just like regular food prep stuff off screen.
Yeah.
Like our janky skimmer oven or something like that's probably around here somewhere.
Here's the thing. We're not cooking the meat, so I don't think we need the skimmer oven.
Yeah.
We're just
facilitating the ritual. The Tender Mercy, I thought.
Yeah, they've got like a real chef here, and they're going to do the whole deal. Yeah.
But we can provide sauces. We don't need
oven part of like the ritual.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Oh, yeah. They could be like psychoactive.
Yes, I'm absolutely making spiked sauces to facilitate the ceremony.
Yeah, because we need them to be amiable to this whole experience, right? Like, we need them to fall for it.
Amazing. Okay. Yeah, what are you doing with these sauces?
The green one I mentioned earlier is going to be spiked with manja. It's going to chill people out, mellow them out to enjoy their meal and maximize the flavor. And then the red one is going to have maybe not like an upper, but like the psychedelics that kind of get used in like ceremonies and stuff. It's like a mild ayahuasca or something like that. Yeah. Like, okay. A little bit of it.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. All right. So the chef, well, it wouldn't be the chef. This would be some kind of sous, some kind of, you know, French kitchen prep, whatever. I didn't watch The Bear that closely. So I think someone notices you like preparing stuff and someone rushes over and is like, so tell me about all this. What are we doing? What are we looking at in terms of ceremonial ingredients? Like, is this just for preparation or will we be expected to cook with this? She looks like horrified. This is another yuppie that is, you know, maybe an off-worlder or something.
Right, right. So I recently learned this from the Rovins. This is part of the ceremony that we'll be conducting. We've got two tinctures here that will go with the meat that we serve tonight. And it's important that each of your client picks one and that's how they enjoy the evening.
Okay, so it's not optional. It is that's part of it.
Well, it's part of the ceremony. I suppose you could abstain, but I think you would be missing part of the experience.
Cool. Okay. All right. Would you like to roll on this? Or like, what is the effect you're looking for here?
Getting this to the client successfully.
Okay. All right. Maybe persuade. Mm-hmm. It feels like persuade. Call that risky standard.
I cannot roll tonight. I got a two.
Okay, so we have a consequence here. This is in my fuckery list. This is something you can resist. Someone here is going to be highly religious and immediately hate Connie.
I think I'll resist that. I feel like there's more complications on the way. And better to keep the list of them low.
All right, so we're going to call that a resolve resist.
That's a four.
It's the same thing.
To resist.
Okay, you take two stress. Where are you at now?
Three.
Okay, so nothing happens that doesn't happen. All right. Who would like to go next? Who has a move they'd like to make? Also, I would remind you that right now, Shreetha's stress level is at a 3, and you are at a 0 in terms of actual success.
I think some of us need to talk to Shreetha, bring her, calm her down a little bit.
Wolpertinger is off like, I did not know what kind of pipe would be most impressive. I did bring them all. And it's just sort of like whipping pipes out of like, just like very like arcane shapes. He's like, look, this one is also musical instrument. Like just making noises.
Yeah. Unless dealing with Wolpertinger. Yeah. Hey, buddy. Love the enthusiasm. Maybe we need to dial it back just a smidge.
All right, who would like to make a move here?
Yeah, I can talk to Shreetha just because I see you're stressing out all over there, you know, even before people have arrived. I think I can calm her down. I approach Sharitha, and I see her freaking out for whatever other reason now. And I'm just going to say to her, Sharitha, it's all right. Your guests will see your demeanor, and you know, they'll feed off of that energy. You need to... It'll go well. You can trust us.
Thank you. So helpful. Thank you very much. She is stressed out by your presence. I don't know. Not quite connecting there. Is there anything else you want to...
Listen, I know we're different calibers of establishment, but before an important event that we host, us at the Scream and Slice, we just take a little drink of this, and I'm going to use one of my load for rare spirits, quality level 4.
Whoa!
So this is something from way before times that I have that's like actually good stuff.
Oh my god, yeah, okay.
It's probably like less than half a bottle at this point, and it's like one of the little 375 ml bottles too.
Oh, nice.
But I pull that out, and I'm like, listen, Sharitha, I'm not going to tell you how to do your job. I'm going to tell her how to do her job. Your demeanor speaks to your establishment. That's something we can both agree on. So just, let's just calm down. Let's have a drink together. We'll get through this. Again, this is good stuff.
All right. Would you call that a charm or a persuade? Or how would you gauge this?
I can call it a charm. Could I get a bonus because
yes,
I use that load?
You're using load, so you get a +1 on that.
Come the fuck on. We can't roll today.
What'd you get?
It's a 3.
Oof. Okay.
Have any of us...
I don't think we had a single... Like,
no,
we had
a 6.
Yeah. Oh, we had, like, 2 successful rolls in flashbacks, but...
Okay, your consequence is that Wolpertinger is going to deploy puppets.
Yeah, I'm going to resist that. Yeah.
The constant looming threat of your non-binary friend pulling out puppets.
I'm always saying that to my non-binary friend. Like,
stop bringing puppets everywhere.
You have to hide the puppets before they have social engagements. It's a whole thing.
All right, give me that resistance roll.
Okay. 4.
Okay.
So 2 stress.
Right, 2 stress. All right, and so you hear the lilting sound of people with thick accents.
I think my resistance is at some point during the preparation for this ceremony, before even Sharitha got there, I saw the bag of puppets and I just like kicked it into the canyon.
Like, get out of here. So Sharitha, first of all, Sharitha looks down at you with not just, again, it's not just contempt. Again, it's not just like pity. It's just like she doesn't understand why you're talking to her, you know? Like, you're like nothing to her. It's like, why is this aunt talking to me? And she turns away because she hears lilting voices coming up, and we see the VIPs arriving. The VIPs are filing into their table. Everybody is locking the fuck down. Like, the servers are all just on deck, ready to go. Like, you hear very gentle kind of ambient music filling the air. The smell gets really good all of a sudden. You're like, oh, okay, interesting. And yeah, you see some people that you've never seen before. We see a cloud of security officers, both in the distance, fading invisibly into the hills, and then we see a couple of armed people. These are John Wick-looking types. Like, these are suits, very slick, very... Like, these are the people that rich people want to be guarded by. It's like, you want your bodyguard to be a superhero, right? And so you see immediately, like, really buff, cool people. Visible weapons, not too visible. We're not trying to look like a warlord gang or whatever. But we see people in sparkly little outfits. We see, looks like a couple of dudes, very, some of you may recognize immediately as like college age, very kind of frat bro energy. Like you know when you dress not quite right for a vacation? So, and you're just sort of showing up with your polo shirt, like, all right, guess I'm wearing this, you know? So we see a couple of those guys. We see one of them has an extremely sensible mask that you would assume has been picked out of, like, it looks like Lottie's, you know? This is like the locked down, like, this is the mask you take on your sensible hiking vacation. One of them has a mask that is actually a motorcycle helmet, and it is breathing smoke every time he talks. It doesn't appear to functionally be a mask. It appears to be a motorcycle helmet, and he's just wearing that. The other one is, we see a girlfriend, clearly, visibly, just sort of like the hot girlfriend of some of these rich people. So she is beautiful. She's very sparkly. Her mask is crazy. It just looks like a cluster of soap bubbles that are like floating up and away and just sort of like disappearing into nothingness above her. And we see a man, probably middle-aged, looks pretty bad, all things considered. He's got a thinning brown mullet. He's got like a rumpled button down. He's got cowboy boots. He has this crazy vape, which appears to be like three different unrelated objects stuck together, which he's honking on like it's keeping him alive. We see a guy who is in like big cartoony Crocodile Dundee survivor gear. Like, you know, just very like, ah, you know, I think you would immediately take one look at this guy and go, this is the High Life Adventure Tours guy. Like, you know, he's dressed up like a guide. Like, there you go. Then we see some older ladies in loud print. They're chilling, they're chatting. We see a twink in a sundress who has a tablet out and is working on this, like face down, like just not really taking in what's around him. Yeah, and so they all are chatting and they're shuffling in, and the night is underway. You're listening to a Hypergallant production. If you like what you heard, leave us a rate and review. Check out our website at hypergallant.com. Thank you to the Drin, the Serfs, Crime of Passing, Herberts Again, and our own Rabbit Sullivan, that's me, for the use of their music. Thank you to Morgan Davey, Malcolm Craig, and Gregor Hutton for the use of their game, A-State.
Hi, I'm Nihar, he, him, and my vibe today is, there are birds. Like,